We begin the current daf Masech des Brachos, daf Negim. We begin 6 lines up from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues on the theme of the previous daf, which was discussing the halachas of Abdullah, specifically regarding the Isser, the prohibition that was mentioned in our Mishnah, and daf Nun Beis, regarding the Isser of using the candle and the besamim of idol worshippers for the Havdalah, for the candle that's used by the Havdalah. So the Gemara begins with a Braisa. Turn Rabban. Nachu shehidlik mi Yisrael. A non-Jew that lit his candle from a Yisrael, and that is from after Shabbos, Hamotzei Shabbos, later in the night, he lit his candle from a Jew. Or a Yisrael shehidlik menachri, or a Jew that lit his candle from a Jew, from a non-Jew. Mevarchin lav, you can make the bracha of Bar Mer Eish on that flame. However, nachri menachri im mevarchin lav, but if you have a non-Jew that lit his candle from a non-Jew, that flame you can't make the bracha of Bar Mer Eish on it. So the Gemara asks, "Maishno nachri minachri d'loy." What's the reason why, if a non-Jew lit his candle from another non-Jew, that you can't use it for bar mer eish mishum d'loy Shabbos? As we mentioned in previous staff, that it's necessary that the candle has to have been rested throughout Shabbos, and no malachas iser is done with it. So therefore, when the non-Jew lights from the non-Jew, even after Shabbos, the problem is because the original flame didn't rest from that non-Jew. So ihachi Yisrael minachri namaloy Shabbos. So therefore, how could we say that if a Jew lit his candle from a non-Jew that is permitted to use, but the original flame didn't rest because the non-Jew's fire was, so to speak, ignited on Shabbos? So the Gemara wants to propose the answer that v'chitim ha'ach isur azalei, if you're going to say that original isur, that original prohibition has already gone because the flame that's lit and continuously creates new fire, so the original, so to speak, ignition is not there anymore, and therefore when the Jew has the flame, it's, so to speak, a new flame. And therefore this is a different one, and this flame, so to speak, was Shabbos. It wasn't, so to speak, done with a malacha on Shabbos. Obiyadu the Yisrael k'misyaldin, it was only created in the hand of the Jew. So Taisus says that really, what if that's the possibility that the Gemara is bringing up, the Gemara could have asked, then therefore, then what's the case with a non-Jew from a non-Jew also? It's also was created newly in that second non-Jew, in the second Nachri, and therefore it also should be mutter. But the Gemara has even a better question, which is the Gemara says, Al-Had the time of this, we learn in the Braisa, Hamuitzi Shalabis L'Shusarab Chayiv. If someone takes out a flame into the Shusarab, he's Chayiv, he's obligated, he's Chayiv for the Isra of Haitzah on Shabbos. And the Gemara in Beis says, well, how do you have a case of taking out a flame? It's as if it's when you smeared, let's say, a piece of pottery with oil, and you sort of lit a flame on it, and therefore there's no gachelis, there's no coal, there's only a flame, and you're not chayiv for taking out the piece of cheres because it doesn't have the requisite shear that's necessary with chiyuv itzah. So you're only going to be chayiv, but you'll be chayiv on the flame. To which the Gemara asks, am I chayiv? Why are you chayiv? Why are you obligated in Isra of Itzah on Shabbos? Masha'okah lo yehaniach. What you uprooted, what you had picked up, is not what you put down. And we know regarding the Isra of Itzah on Shabbos, you're not chayiv until you do an akira. You uproot it from one property, in one area, for example, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then you put it down in a different area, which is the Hanochin, let's say Rosh Hashanah Rabim. As the Gemara says, Masha'niach le'okah, this person, what he put down was not what he picked up because it's a different flame. If that's what you're proposing, that the flame is not the same that it was when it was created, because the flame keeps on recreating. So when I picked it up, I, so to speak, picked up one type of fire. I put it down, I put down a different type of fire. So how am I chayiv for itzah, for, so to speak, for carrying from one rishos to another rishos, if it's, so to speak, different objects? I'd rather you want to say, lo'olam di isura nami isa. Rather, it must be that there is an isur, as it's mentioned, that there's a chayiv on Shabbos if one carries it out from one rishos to another rishos. And therefore, it seems to be that it is, so to speak, the original flame that was there. So then how could a Jew, so to speak, make a bracha on the candle that he lit from a non-Jew who that, so to speak, flame was done the Isser with on Shabbos? It wasn't Shabbos. That the person that's making the bracha, he's making on the additional fire, the flame that was added on permissibly, is that's what he's making a bracha on. In other words, the Yisrael's candle that, so to speak, added more fire. So correct, the original flame is still there, and that's why you chayav haitzah. But there's more fire there, so to speak. And that addition was Shavas, and that's what the person makes the bracha on the Matzah Shabbos. So then the Gemara goes back, as Taisus mentioned, the question was difficult from the beginning. Yehachi nachri minachri nami. So therefore, a non-Jew from another non-Jew also should be able to make a bracha on that flame, because that additional flame only was started on Matzah Shabbos, and that was Shabbos. So although the original flame from the original non-Jew was not Shabbos, but you should be able to make a bracha on that additional flame that was Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "En chanami," correct. In other words, it should be that you should be able to make the bracha on a nachri from a nachri. But gzeir mishum nachri rishin of amud rishin. But we made a decree to make it prohibited because we were concerned about the first non-Jew and regarding the first pillar of fire. And that is, if we permit you to, so to speak, make the bracha on the non-Jew's candle that he lit from another non-Jew from when it was already after Shabbos, you might come to make a bracha on a non-Jew's candle that he lit from when it was still Shabbos. And not only that it was his, but it was that actual flame that didn't add anything when it was already night. In other words, for example, if you made a bracha right after it became Matzah Shabbos, where there's no additional flame of heter, because in other words, even the original goy should be mutter, because even though he lived on Shabbos and it was, so to speak, not Shabbos, but the second it becomes Matzah Shabbos, 2 minutes later, you already have that extra flame which was added b'tayseves that no malacha was done with it, it should be mutter. However, we're concerned about the original goy with the original flame, and that is if the second after tzeis you run and you say the bracha b'remayesh, so then that will never have had a moment of tayseves of heter, and therefore we were concerned about that. So therefore we said that you're not allowed to have him any nachri to be able to make the bracha on his candle if it was lit from another nachri. So the Gemara continues, what's the halacha if you're not sure where the origination of this flame was regarding making a bracha? And we know if it's from a nachri, you're not allowed to. If from Yisrael, you're allowed to because he didn't do an issa with it. So the question is, let's say you're not sure. So turn up on, we learned in the b'rais, if someone was going outside of a city and he saw a fire, so he'd want to know, could he make a b'rach on that or not? So if most of the inhabitants in the city are non-Jews, so then you can't make a bracha because you go basarai, you go with the majority. And since the majority are non-Jews, we said that from a non-Jew's candle, you can't make a bracha by Ma'esh. Imre of Yisrael, mark, but if the majority of the inhabitants are Jews, then you could make a bracha. To which the Gemara says, Haguv Akasha, it's internal contradiction. Amrit, you said, Imre of Nachem ein Mavarach, that if the majority are non-Jews, then you can't make a bracha. Ha-mechza, mechza, mavarach. That would mean, but if it's 50-50, with not majority non-Jews, then you could make a bracha. Then you learn that Imre Yisrael Mavarach, that if a majority of the inhabitants are Jews, then you could make a bracha. Which the diak is, HaMechza Mechza Mavarach, that if it's 50-50, then you can make the bracha. That seems to be a contradiction. If it's 50-50, what would the halacha be? So the Gemara answers, B'dinhu da'fila Mechza Mechza Na Mavarach. In truth, that even if it's 50-50, one can go ahead and make the bracha on the candles, on the fire that one sees from outside of the city. The Aydid, the Tana, Reisha, Rav Nachim, Tana, Sefer, Rav Yisrael, and since the Reisha used the terminology of majority of non-Jews, so the Sefer, the end, used the same terminology of the majority of Jews, but and that's just to keep it symmetrical, but in truth, it's even if it's Mechtzi Yisrael, and Mechtzi Nachri, that even then one could make a bracha on the fire because of that to say that possibly it's from the Jews, who one could make a bracha by Me'esh on their fire. Now the Gemara continues on a different suffix when you're not sure about the source of the flame. Turn Rabban. If someone was going outside of a city and he saw a child and the child had a torch in his hand. So, you have to check after him. Im Yisrael hu mevarach. If he's a Jew, then you can make a bracha on his fire. Im nachri hu ein mevarach. But if he's a non-Jew, then you can't make a bracha on his flame. To which Gemara asks, my ear, Tinnik, why did the Brais have to specify as talking about a child? I feel a gadol nami, even if an adult. You have to check if he's a Jew or a non-Jew. If he's a non, you say, hey, do you have fire? You say, wait, are you Jewish? Then he can make a bracha. If not, you can't. So I'm Rabbi Yehuda Marav, hocha b'samach l'shkiyas achamaskin. We're talking about a specific case that it's very close, right after shkiyah. And gadol muchacha milsa devadi nachehu. If he's an adult and he's holding a torch, he's obviously a non-Jew. And therefore, you don't have to check after him. Because if he was a Jew, he wouldn't be so quick to get a fire right after the second after Shabbos and be holding it in his hand. Tinik, Emi Yisrael hu ikri b'nakar. But if he's a child, then I could say that it possibly he is a Jew. And it just happened that he chopped it and he grabbed it and he's holding a fire, even though a regular adult would not be, so to speak, already holding a torch. A child, you could suspect that, and therefore there you would check after him. But an adult, we could take for granted that he's not Jewish and that you wouldn't be able to use his fire. Something similar to the Gemara says, Tarabban, if you were going outside the city and you saw a flame, if it's thick, like the fire that comes out of a furnace, then you can make a bracha on that fire. That is, their furnaces that they would burn the stones there to turn it for lime, that if it was thick, like that type of fire that comes out from a furnace. So that's a very clear illumination, a clear fire. And therefore, that type of light is used for illumination. And that's why, since it's used for or, as we're going to see in the Gemara, many different halachas, that the flame of the Havdalah candle has to be a flame that's used for illumination that people use for seeing. And therefore, since if it's thick, that comes out of a furnace, so that type of fire is very clear and people use it for seeing, therefore you could use it for the bracha of Boim Ma'ori Ha'esh. Vim Lav, but if not, that if it wasn't made for that tzlei, for its illumination, rather it's a type of fire that's used just for cooking, and therefore, Einam Mevarech Lav, you cannot make a bracha on it, because the one of the principles of the bracha of Ma'ori Ha'esh has to be that that fire was made for illumination purposes, and that type of flame that's not thick, like that comes out of the furnace, it's only used for cooking and not for fire, that you can't make the bracha b'omer esh. Similarly, the Gemara brings, related to this halacha, that tanachada, urshal kivshin mevarchan lov, v'tanyidach im mevarchan lov. One brisa says that the fire that comes out of a furnace, you could make a bracha on it. Another one says you can't. So how do we resolve that? Loikasha ha-betchila ha-le-besayf. That in the beginning, there, when it's the beginning of the burning of the stones, then the fire is not so good then, so to speak. So it's not used then for illumination. There, one cannot use it for the bracha of Boimer Esh. However, the other one was talking about towards the end of when they're burning it for the lime, where most of it is already lit up already, and so there's a great fire that comes up. That's also used for illumination. People use it to see because it's very clear. There, one can make his bracha of Boimer Esh because, again, it's used for illumination. Similarly, the Gemara brings the stira tanachada. We learn in one brisa, or shal tana vishal kirai mevarchin alav, betani idachem mevarchin alav. We learn in one brisa that the fire of that the light of an oven and of a stove, one can make a bracha on it for the boimer esh. Another brisa says one cannot. And that is, we're talking about by an oven at the end, that there you can make a bracha on it, because after the oven was heated up very well and the bread is inside of it, that there it can be lit up with putting in a small twig or a splinter over there by the opening and the collide up, and therefore it has a lot of fire. So therefore, that's the type of thing that they use it for its illumination. So therefore, it says that we can use it for the fire, but then another brisa says we cannot use it. So the Gemara says loikasha b'tchila b'sayf, that when we said that one cannot use it for the boimer esh, that's in the beginning where it's still heating up, so to speak, and it's not such a clear fire. But towards the end, we're there, then again, that's the type of fire that's clear and you can use it for illumination there. Then we said that you could use it for the Barimara Esh. So now, the Gemara discusses exactly what is it that we're considering it lo'ira. In other words, we said that it has to have been lit for its illumination, so to speak, that you could see with it. That's the only time you can use it for the Barimara Esh. So the Gemara discusses this similar contradiction, and that'll touch on this halacha. Tanachada, Urshal Beis HaKnesses, Urshal Beis HaMedish Mevarchin Lav. Tanidach Im Mevarchin Lav. One brisa says that the candles that are lit in the shul or in the Beis HaMedish, you can make a bracha Barimer Esh in it. And one says you can't. So the Gemara says, Loi Kasha Hadeka Adam Chashev, Hadalaka Adam Chashev. That when there's a Adam Chashev in the Beis HaMedish, so then the candle that's lit is for his honor, but not to be able to see. It's stam for covet, and therefore you don't make a bracha on it again because it wasn't lit for illumination. This that said that you could use it for the bracha b'omer esh is talking about that there is no adam chashev, there's no respectable person that came to the shul, and therefore why are they lighting the candle to be able to see, and that's why it's a type of candle that you could make the bracha of b'omer esh on it. That's one teretz that Gemara gives. V'ibayisema, or if you want, you could resolve it as follows. Hava ha'deika adam chashev le'kasha. They're both talking about that there is adam chashev in the mismedrash. However, that when there's a chazan, when there's a shamish, an attendant in the Beis Medrash, in the shul, that he eats in the Beis HaKnesses, so then that candle is also being lit for illumination, that he could be able to see the food that he's eating, and therefore one can make a bracha. When we said that you cannot use it for the bracha b'Meish, is that there is no shamish in the shul, so no one's eating there. Therefore, it's only being lit for the Adam Chashev, and that's why it's not lit la'ira, so you can't make the bracha b'Meish on it. And the third test the Gemara gives is that v'ibay seima hava hadeka chazana b'loy kasha. Both are talking about that there is a shamish in the Beis Medrash. So why is there one brisa that says that you would not be able to use it if l'chayr it's being lit that he could eat? Hadeka sihara v'hadeleka sihara. that one case is talking about that there is the light of the moon. And there the chazan, the shamish, could eat to the light of the moon. So therefore you can't make a bracha on the candle because it wasn't being lit for illumination, because he doesn't need that light to be able to eat. Rather, it's being lit only for the kavod of the Adam Chashim. However, this that said that he could use the candle for Bayim Ra'esh, talking about that there is no light of the moon. So therefore, the chazan, the shamash of the shul, could only eat with the light of the candles. Although there's Adam Chashim, it's also being lit that he could see. So therefore, that's a case that you would be able to use it for Bayim Ra'esh. So the principle of our Gemara that comes out is that the candle that one has to use for Bayim Ra'esh has to have been lit that you can be able to see, not for Adam Chashim, or if let's say there's a shamash, but there's the light of the moon. If it's being lit not for illumination purposes, it cannot be used for the bracha of Bayre Ma'ire Ha'esh. Now the Gemara discusses what would be if on Matzah Shabbos there's a candle that finally wasn't around by Abdullah time, and then it becomes available when people are learning in the Beis Medrash. Shatan Rabban, we learned in the Braisa. If people were sitting in the Beis Medrash, and finally Abdullah candle was brought in front of them. So there's a machlekes b'sham b'sil. B'sham ha'omim kolech ve'echad mevarech la'atzmo. Everyone makes their own bracha on Bayim Ra'esh on the candle. And b'sil ha'omim echad mevarech la'kul. Now one person gets up, but the beam makes a clap, and he makes the bracha Bayim Ra'esh for everybody. What's the reason? M'shem shenema b'reivam hadris melech. Said in the multitudes of the nation is a splendor for the king. When everybody gets together and makes one powerful bracha together, so therefore one person makes for everyone. So the Gemara asks, b'shlam b'sil mefashe taima b'sil. Explain their reason why one does for everyone. El Bisham my time, but what's the understanding of Bisham? Why does he say that everyone has to make their own bracha? Kesavri b'nei bitl b'sem medrash. They were concerned about the bitl, all the time of the learning that's going to be wasted in the Beis Medrash. And that is because if at one time everyone's going to have this one bracha, so everyone's going to have to stop learning, they're going to have to shushka everyone until everyone's finally focused on listening and hearing, and then they'll be able to have to answer amen. Therefore, the amount of time that's going to be wasted is going to be much more than if everyone will make their own private bracha. And therefore, he says that everyone should make their own because precious time of learning should not be wasted in any form or manner. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Tanya Mahachi, shall Beis Rabbi Gamliel lo haya oimim marpe beBeis Hamedrash bnei bitl beBeis Hamedrash." The household of Rabbi Gamliel, they wouldn't say marpe, which means, so to speak, a lotion of refuah, that you should be healed for someone that was sneezing. They used to say asusa, people say, or people say bless you, or people say different things. That they wouldn't say it in the Beis Medrash when people are learning, even though someone sneezes, because of bitl Beis Medrash, because of, so to speak, you being mevatel the words of Torah, therefore they wouldn't say it. An interesting Reb Kveige brings from the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, and Perkei Nun Beis, where the source of this is to say asusa when someone sneezes, that from the time that the heaven and earth were created, there was never anyone that would become sick. Rather, what would happen would be, if he was going on the road or he was in the marketplace, he would sneeze, his neshama, his soul, would come out of his nostrils, and that's how he would die. And it would be suddenly, no one ever got sick until Yaakov Inu came and he, so to speak, beseeched mercy. And he said, Master of the world, don't take my soul from me until I can command my sons and my daughters, and therefore to be able to know that. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I could tell them what they should do after I pass away at Tzavo. And Hashem, so to speak, acceded to his request. And therefore, everybody has to say when someone sneezes that, you know, Chayim, that you, so to speak, you should live. Because this, so to speak, was this death, was, so to speak, reversed to light, as it says, at the Shaysif Talar. In other words, when people used to sneeze, they used to die. So that's why we say, Asusa, you should be healed, so to speak, in reference to that thing that used to be, that's how people used to pass away. They would sneeze, and through that would come out their soul, because they didn't die through sickness, they would die suddenly. So again, we see two different reasons, two different halachas over here, why they wouldn't, the bitl beis medrash is that they wouldn't say asusa, or they wouldn't even make this birchas harabim of many people making havdalah one time, again, because we don't want to mevatel any second from learning Torah. So now the Gemara continues, quoting from our Mishnah, that says, im avorchen lo'el aner v'la b'sam shal mesim. You can't make the bracha on the havdalah candle or on the fragrant spices of b'samim if it's from the dead. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? What's this that they used to have a candle when they used to be taking out the dead person, or they used to have spices? It's because ner l'kavod hu David, the candle that's lit by the dead person when they're, so to speak, by his levaya, is lit for his honor. And therefore it's not being lit for illumination purposes. As we said, that's a prereq for be able to say the bracha of Bayim Ra'esh on it. And similarly, b'samim l'avui reichu hu David, that the fragrant spices are there just to take away the bad smell of the decaying body, and it's not there, so to speak, to give a good smell, just to, so to speak, deodorize the bad smell, and that's why you can't use it for Bissam either, because Bissam has the same criteria as the Abdullah can, that has to be done for good smelling, and like it has to be for illumination, and not some for something different, for something negative. Now the Gemara explains. It depends. I'm Rabbi Huda Mirav. Any dead person that if they would escort him with a candle both by day or by night, in Mavarchan Lav, such a candle you can't make a bracha of Boy Meish on. And that is because since he's Chashiv, that even if, let's say, if it's Matzah Shabbos, that there's a candle that taking out to bury him, you can't make a bracha on that because it's obviously being lit for his honor and not for illumination, because although it's nighttime now, but we see that he would do it even by the daytime. But for Chosha Ein Matzin Lafanav Eila Balayla, but any dead person that they would only light a candle for him at nighttime, that in other words, he's not such a chash of a person that they would take a candle in front of him by the day, only by night. So such a person, Mavarchan Lav, you can make the bracha of Boy Mareish on him if let's say his Levaya was on Matzah Shabbos, because that candle was being lit so people could see for illumination, and that's a good candle to make a bracha of Boy Mareish on him. More on this. Amr Rav Huna, Bissam Shal Beis Akise, regarding the fragrant spices of the lavatory, and that is the people that were more delicate istinists, that they would go into the bathroom, they would take these spices with them to take away the bad smell of the bathroom. That type of besamim, one cannot make a brach on it. Meshemen ha'asil ha'avar ha'zuma, and similarly regarding the oil that one uses to get rid of the bad odors that are on his hand. This is that they used to bring at the end of the meal to smear one's hands and to anoint it, and this had a good smell. In Mavarchan Lav, you can't make a bracha on these two things. You can't make the bracha of Bari Atz Besamim, because again, they're not being used for smelling. They're being used either to take away bad odors of the bathroom or of the hands. And Rashi says that although the Gemara in Kitz Mavarchan and Daf Mem Gimel says that this oil that would come, that this Mishcha Kfisha Trina, that you make a bracha of Bari Atz Besamim on it, that's only if it didn't come during the meal. Rather, it was coming at, so to speak, to smell it. But if it comes at the end of the meal, then the main purpose is just to get rid of the bad odors, not for the good smell. And that's why you can't make a bracha of Bari Min B'Samanit on Matzah Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Lememra, is this to come to say, the Chol Heicha Delav L'Reicha Avidu Lo Mevarchin Eloyei, that are you telling me that whenever the, so to speak, these fragrant spices are not coming to give a good smell, rather they're coming to do something else, to take away bad odor, then you can't make the bracha of Bari Min B'Samanit from Matzah Shabbos, but Meisvei, we said that if someone goes into a store of fragrant spices and he smells it, it's geschmack. Even if he sits there an entire day, in he only makes one bracha. But let's say he's coming and going out the whole time. So then he makes a bracha every single time that he comes in and out. The question is, here these besamim, that's in the store, that the stores, the shelves are stocked, they're not here for smelling, rather here for selling, not for smelling purposes. And therefore, still we see the person makes the bracha. So how can we say that if, let's say, this besam, which has a good smell, but it's being used for the bathroom or whatever it is, that you don't make a bracha because it's not used, so the purpose is not for that. Here also the purpose is not for its good smell. Here the purpose is that it's stocked so that a person can sell it. So Gemara says, no, in L'Reicha Nami Ha'Huda Avida, it's also used for smell, not just to sell. And that is Kihech D'Nircha Inchi V'Nesu V'Nizbimine. And that is a marketing tool. That person should come into this store, it's a good smell, and he's going to enjoy it, it's pleasurable. And like it says, scratch me or whatever it is, and you could enjoy it. So then you go out and then you'll buy it. So therefore, not only is it used for marketing, for selling, it's also used for the good smell, and that's why you should make the bracha of the besamim on it, even if you go into the store, which is unlike the other ones when going to the bathroom or anointing the hands at the end of the meal, which is only used to take away the odor. So the Gemara continues now, as we mentioned before, regarding the Havdalah candle. Now it mentions regarding the besamim. What's if you're not sure what type of besamim it is, where the origins of it is from? Tan Rabban. If one was going outside a city and he smelled the smell, so now he doesn't know where the smell is from to know if he can make a bracha, probably made a besamim in it. If the majority of the city inhabitants are non-Jews, are idol worshippers, then you can't make a bracha, because like we said, it's dam of their stuff, of Avodah Zarah, that we say that you can't use the besam of Avodah Zarah. But if the majority inhabitants are Jews, and you smell that good smell, then you can make the bracha of Bari Min Besam. Rabbi Yossi Aymer, no. Afilu Rabbi Yisrael Nami Ein Mavrach. Even the majority of the inhabitants are Jews, still what you cannot make a bracha on it when you're just walking outside of the city. And that is Mamnesha. But Nesi Yisrael Makartz L'Chshafim, because the daughters, the Jewish daughters, they would burn incense for sorcery. And therefore, even the Jews, so to speak, used it for Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara asks, Atur Kula L'Chshaf Makartzun? But then, do then all of them use it for Avodah Zarah, for sorcery? Why do we say that if the Jewish daughters do it, that you can't use it? That's not the majority of people. Gemara says, you're right, but Havalei Mi'ut L'Chshafim. So it comes that a minority of them do it for sorcery. And the minority also use spices to perfume their clothing. And that is that they would put coals on the floor with perfume, with besamim, and they would go ahead, they would hang their clothing over it, and that's how they would finish the clothing. It would so to speak, get this good smell into the clothing. So it comes that a majority of the inhabitants are not using it just for good smelling purposes. And wherever the majority are not using it for smelling, rather using it, so to speak, to finish off their clothing, or if they're using it for sorcery. So therefore, you can't make a bracha on it, even when you're walking on the outside of a city that the majority of inhabitants are Jewish, according to Reb Yossi, because then you still have a minority also that are non-Jews. So the Gemara elaborates on this and says, Amr b'chir b'rabba Reb Yechnon, ha-mahalach ba'av shabbos is b'tferyu, u'b'matzah shabbos is b'tzipari. Whoever's going on Erev Shabbos on Friday afternoon in Tveria, and that is because in Tveria they used to do on finish up their clothing. That's as to prepare their Shabbos clothing. They would put it on top of these incense that would make their clothing good, smell good. Or Matzah Shabbos in Tzipari, where they used to do this on Matzah Shabbos, because some people prepare their stuff already on Matzah Shabbos for the next Shabbos. And then you smell the smell, then you don't make a bracha. And that's because there's a chazaka. We say that it probably is that this smell is from people that were using it only to finish up their clothing. And therefore, you don't make a bracha on Bayim and Basam on it, because the bracha has to be only something that was being made for good smelling. And here it wasn't being made for that, it was being made to finish up the clothing. And everyone would be doing that, and the whole streets would be smelling. So therefore, you can't make a bracha over there. A related halacha, the Gemara ends over here, is that Tan Rabban, someone was going in the marketplace of idol worshippers, Nisratz Laharich, and he was willingly enjoying the smells. He's a sinner because he's enjoying the smell of Avodah Zarah that's going on over there, and therefore you shouldn't, although obviously against your will, you're hearing things, smelling things, seeing things, but you should not be willingly enjoying it, and therefore if one does, he's called a sinner. Now we continue on to Amud Beis. The Gemara quoted from the Mishnah that says, "Ve'im avarchin al aner ad sheyo'isa." The Mishnah said, you can't make a bracha on the Avdolah candle until you enjoy, you have hana from the flame. So the Gemara qualifies this. Amar Bihuda Merav, lo yu'usa yu'usa mamish. It doesn't mean that you actually have to have hana, pleasure, that you have to enjoy the flame. And that is, even if you don't enjoy it, you can make the bracha by Mer'esh. So what does it mean, ad sheyo'usa, until you have hana from it? That's until the flame would be fit to have anah from for those that are standing next to it. And then you can make a bracha on it, even if you're far from it, as long as you see it. As the Gemara says, El kolshi lo oimid b'karv u'mishtamash lo oira, but rather that if were one to stand near it, he would be able to use it and he would be able to enjoy it. Then vafil b'richim mokim, that even if it is far, as long as he sees it, then it's, so to speak, it's functional, that it could be used for enjoyment to be able to see. So therefore, that seeing that type of fire, I can make a bracha on it. And so does Rav Vashi said that even if one's far, one could make a bracha. And it doesn't mean you actually have to have hana. It means it has to be usable to be able to have hana from it, were I to be close. Meisve, the Gemara asks that we learned, if someone had a flame hidden in his lap or in a lantern, or if he saw the flame, but he didn't use the light, or he was able to see something because of the illumination, because of the light of the candle, but he didn't actually see the actual flame. The halacha is, the Braisa says, you can't make a bracha on the candle for Boimer Ish until you see the flame, and that you utilize the illumination. It has to be both components, that you see it and you use it. So the Gemara composes their question. I understand the case of that you're using the illumination, but you don't see the flame, that's Mishkachas L'dikayim B'keren Zavis. Then if, let's say, you're by the corner, so therefore, if the flame is over here and you're over here, so you don't see the flame, but there's light over here, so therefore I can use the light, in spite of the fact that I'm not seeing the flame, that case wouldn't be good. How do you have a case where you see the flame, but you can't use but you're not using the illumination? If you see it, you're obviously getting the light coming off of it. So what would be such a case that we were saying that would not work for the Baruch Abdallah? Lav demerach, isn't it talking about that you're far away from it, that you see the flame, but you're too far away to enjoy the light? So therefore, and still we see that that's the type of case that the Bryce is telling us, that one cannot use it for the bracha of Havdalah, which is not like the way Rav said, that even if you're far, you can make the bracha of Baimar Esh. Gemara says, Loi, it's not the case that they're referring to. Kugoin de Am Yiva Azla, it's talking about a case when it's continuously, progressively dimming and getting dimmer and dimmer. And that is, that's a case when you could see it, but you can't enjoy the light because it's not creating enough illumination. And that's the case that we said that's not good. But if it's a strong fire that were one to be able to enjoy if it was close, then even if you're far, that is considered that you're seeing it and that you could use the fire. That's the type of fire, it's subjective, that you would be able to use even if you're far to make a brocha boimer esh. So nothing more continues on this theme that we just mentioned regarding if it's continuously dimming and going out. So we're going to turn our button. What's the exact criteria? If you have coals that are glowing, then you can make a brach on them. But if they're dimming, then you can't make a brach on them. So the Gemara says, what is considered glowing? In other words, that it's still not, so to speak, it's not dimming yet, it's still glowing, and that it would be enough to be able to make the brach of Boimar Eish on it. So Amrav Chizda calls Ilu Machnes Latoichen Kisim, but the Lekes Me'eleha, that if war want to put into that fire, a splinter, and it would light up on its own, so that's enough lit that's still considered glowing that one can make a barimer ish. But if we're one to put in a splinter and it wouldn't light up, that's already, so to speak, dimming, and that wouldn't be enough to make a bracha a barimer ish. If you have, like, by the barbecue and the coal is, like, going out and it's not enough there, that's not considered illuminated enough to be able to make the bracha a barimer ish. So now the Gemara asks, this word that we said, that if it's dimming, what's the correct spelling? Is it with an aleph or is it with an ayin? So Toshim Adam Rav Chizda Rav Dimi, there's a pasuk in Yechezkel that says, Arazim loy amamuhu, that cedars will not dim his splendor. Began alikim in the garden of Hashem. And we see that the word was with an ayin, so that's the correct spelling, that dimming is spelled with an ayin and not with an aleph. So now the Gemara brings a different amor that argues on what Rav said before. Rav ama yu'usim mamash. No, it means that you actually have to have pleasure from the light, that you have to stand right next to it to have hanofim. If you're far away and they're making havdol and you don't see it, and you're not having enough from it, then it's not worth anything, and you can't make the bracha barimer ishnet. So the Gemara asks for kama, how close is close? So umu'ula kadeshi yakir bein issa lepunyin, that if you were close enough that you would be able to tell the difference between these two different coins of an issa and a punyin, that's enough of considering having enough from the illumination, then you can make the bracha barimer ishnet. A similar type, but a little bit different, that you have to be able to tell the difference between the weight of the city of Tveria and to the weights of the city of Tzipari. So la halacha, the Gemara brings a different Amayram did according to their own shitas. Rabbi Yehuda mevarach ad be ad daily. Rabbi Yehuda, he would make the bracha of Barmer Eish from the fire of the house of ad daily. That is, Rabbi Yehuda would make a bracha on the flame that was by the house of Adadilah, which was very far from his house, because Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasei, his opinion is that you don't need to be close by. But Rava, he would be mevarach adebe Gurya bar Chama. He would make the bracha b'rmeish from the flame of the house of Gurya bar Chama, which was near his house. And that's because Rava is, according to his opinion that we just mentioned, that holds that you have to be nearby. Abaye mevarach adebe Baravua, Abaye would make a bracha on the house of Baravua, which it doesn't say which one he did, if it was like the opinion of Rava or Rabbi Yehuda, that it was supposed to be nearby, or even if it's far. So, Rabbi Yehuda Merav, a different halacha regarding to the Havdalah candle, ein mechazrin al ha'or kederech shemechazrin al mitzvah. We don't have to go after the Havdalah candle the way we go after mitzvahs. And that is, if there's no flame, so then you don't have to go searching for it. It's only if you have it available. So the Gemara comments on this. Amr Bzeira Mireshav Madran. I used to go after the Avdol candle. I had to make Avdolah. I had to find the candle. Kivin the Shemana Lahod Rabbi Yehuda Merav. Now that I heard this halacha, Anonami Lamadran. I also don't go after it. Eli Mikla Limimela Mavarichna. If it comes to me, if it's available, so then I make the bracha bar Meish. If not, then it's okay because it's not ma'akiv for the actual Havdalah. So we had over here Machloikis in the Gemara. If one has to have Hanah and to be able to see the light, or if it's dafka that you have to be able to see the light, but it's enough that if were one to be close by, you would have enough from it that would be enough of so to speak to be able to make the bracha of Bar Yimei Eish on the Havdalah candle. So now the Gemara returns to our Mishnah that's in Misha Achal B'chul, that someone that ate, we had a machlokes between Bishameh and Bishil, that if someone forgot and he didn't make Birch Samazin where he ate. So the question was, does he have to come back to where he ate, or is it enough where he remembered, when they finally remembered, that he can make Birch Samazin over there? So Amar Rav Zvid V'Temer Rav Dim B'Abba, machlokes Bishah Shachach. The whole machlokes between Bisham and Bishil was, if one forgot to bench, and then he remembered later, so that Bishil says you can bench over there, and Bisham says you have to go back. Of B'mezin D'Rak Kol Yachzalim Kami V'Yivarach. But if he did it on purpose, he knew about it, he didn't say, okay, whatever, it's okay. And then the lady said, okay, you know what, I'll bench. You know, he feels bad to, so to speak, what he did. So then everyone agrees he has to go back and bench. So the Gemara's Peshitta, B'shachachtnan. That's obvious. When it was said in the Mishnah, it says that someone ate and they forgot to bench. So obviously he didn't do it on purpose. So the Gemara says, no, Ma'adutam, I would have thought, Ho'adin afilu b'meza, that even if a person does it on purpose, their Beisil is still makel that he can make Birch Samazin when he decides he wants to in a different place. V'hadik tani v'shachach, and this that the Mishnah specified that he forgot, is lohediacha kochen b'shamay, is telling you even the chiddush of b'shamay, that even when he did it by mistake, still b'shamay holds that he has to go back. Kamash Malan, that's what we're telling you to know, that even Beis Hill would agree that if you did it on purpose, you have to go back. It's only if you forgot that Beis Hill says you could say it where you remembered. So now Gemara brings a braisa that explains more lengthily this halacha, this machlokes between b'shamay and Beis Hill. If you forgot, will you have to make Birch Samazin if you have to go back or even in that place? Tanya, we learned the Braisa. Armalim Bishil Bishameh. Bishil told Bishameh as follows. The Devrechim, according to your opinion, Misha Ocha Beresh Habira, Vishachach Viyard Vilei Birch. If someone went and he ate on the top of a mansion and he forgot and he came down and he didn't make Birch Samazin, Yachzal Beresh Habira Vivach, do you make him go back to the top of the mansion to make Birch Samazin? So Armalim Bisham Bishil. So Bishameh responded to Bishil. The Devrechim, according to your opinion, Misha Shachach Arniki Beresh Habira, Loya Alevit Len. If someone forgot a wallet with $1,000, $1 million on the top of a mansion, he's not going to go back and take it. And therefore, B'Shameh says, L'chvayt Atzmehu Oylech V'Shmaim L'Koshkin. If for his own glory, his own honor, for his own money, he'd go back up to the top of the mansion for the honor of Hashem, he doesn't have to. So the Gemara brings a story related to this machlekes. That Hanu Tre Tamidi, there were these two students, Chad Ovid B'Shoigi Ki B'Shameh. One did like B'Shameh in the situation of B'Shoigi, that although by mistake he got up from his place and he forgot to make Birch Samazin, he was machmir on himself like B'Sham, and he went back to the place that he ate and he made Birch Samazin. V'shtakech arnika didhav, and he found a golden wallet, a wallet full of gold, that it was the reward that he was machmir on himself to go back and bench for the kavod hamakom where he had eaten. V'chad ovid b'mezid k'beisil, and one did on purpose like Beisil, and that is he got up from his place on purpose, says, I'm not going to bench, and to go bench in somewhere else, because he had to go somewhere. And that's obviously not like Beis Hill, because Beis Hill holds only B'Shoigi, but in other words, he was make like Beis Hill's opinion, even b'mezid, even wantonly. V'achli Arya, and the lion ate him. So we see that it's important, so to speak, what the different ramifications of being machmer or doing something improperly, which is he used Beis Hill's opinion improperly, that it's only if one does a B'Shoigi, not b'mezid. A similar story the Gemara brings is the Rabbi B'Bachana, Habakozal B'Shayarta, he was going with a caravan of people. He ate and he forgot. They said, oh, quick, the caravans are going. And he remembers, oh, I forgot to bench. They said to himself, what am I going to do? If I'm going to tell them I forgot to bench. So they're going to tell him, bench over here. Wherever you're benching, it's for Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. And that's the halacha like Bishil, that if you forgot, you can bench wherever you are. So he said, mutiv da'amin lehu anshoy yonadahav. He says, better let me tell them that I forgot a golden dove and that I have to go back to get it. So Amalahu, he told to them, Antru li dan shoy yon dehav. He said to them, wait for me, I forgot a golden dove. But that, they said, oh, for money, okay, of course, we'll let him go back. Ozlo berich, he went back and he benched Birch Samazin, v'yishkach yon dehav, and he found a golden dove. And therefore, his words became true. So the Gemara says, what's the reason that he picked necessarily a dove? In other words, it sounds like he was saying a lie that if it got a golden dove, there was no dove. So the Gemara says that he was trying to give an illusion what he was saying. He says, the Mesili Knesset Yisrael Liyayna. The Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove. It says in the Pasuk, Kanfei Yayna, that you will be, there's a Pasuk in Tehillim, that you will be like the wings of a dove. Nechfa Bekesev, that are coated with silver. Ve'evreseh Birakrek Chartz, and its limbs will be coated with brilliant gold. So therefore, Klal Yisrael is compared to a dove. So he was saying that, in other words, he had to have a keyim for Klal Yisrael to go back and be machmer on this halacha. And the Gemara says that my yain is just like a dove. Why is Klal Yisrael compared to a dove? That just like a dove, einan itzoylis il bechnafeha. It only saves itself with its wings. And that is, either it flies away with the wings, or it fights its wars with its wings. Af Yisrael, so too Klal Yisrael, ein nitzol el b'mitzvos, we're only saved with the mitzvos. In other words, the mitzvos are the things that help us exist, to be. Just like the dove, that it helps it exist, either to fight or to flee. It helps with the things that are, so to speak, scaring it, that are its fears. So too the mitzvos are the things that help us be and exist, to be present in the world and not to run from our fears. Those are the mitzvahs essay, the mitzvahs leisa say, the mitzvahs essay are there that we should actively be here in the world and experience everything. And the mitzvahs leisa say are ways that to stop us from running to do different things. It's exactly what the knafayim of the dove are. And that's why he said that he compared it to a golden dove, because it was comparing himself to Klal Yisrael. And that's why he had to go back to fulfill the mitzvah of Birch Samozin properly. So again, we have in our Gemara the machlikes between Bisham and Bishil. Was only machlokes regarding b'shogeg if someone did it by mistake. But on b'mezid, everybody agrees you have to go back to the place that you had started and you had eaten your meal. Now the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah that says, ad ema saihu mevarch, that up until when can you bench? So we're talking about someone that forgot to bench. But how much later? An hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, until when can you bench? So the Mishnah had said that up until the time that it takes for the food to digest that you had eaten. To which the Gemara asks, "Kamashi equal? How much is the measurement of digestion?" Rabbi Yechonon calls manchein the Rav. As long as he's not hungry, that's the amount of time that you could still bench berch samazin, and that's considered that it's still digesting. Because when it finished digesting, then it's a sign that you're hungry. That means that there's no more food in there. Rish Lakish says, as long as you're still thirsty from the eating that you ate, that's considered that it's still digesting, and therefore one can still make birch samaz. So on that, the Gemara says, "Amli Rav Yemir bar Shlemi lemazutra v'amrila." And some say Rav Yemir bar Shizbi said it lemazutra. Mi Amr Shlakish Hachi? Did Rish Lakish say that that's the shear of equal? But v'ha'amr Rav Ami Amr Rish Lakish kamashir equal. They said in the name of Rish Lakish, what is the shear of digestion? K'del harach abimil. That's to go 4 mil, which is 72 minutes, and therefore that's different than the amount of time a person is thirsty after he eats. So Gemara says, "Loi kasha kam bachila meruba kam bachila mu'etes," that when he eats a lot, so that's up to 72 minutes. When he eats a little bit, so that's less. That's the amount of time that a person is still thirsty after he eats, and that's the amount of time one be able to wait. That's the opinion of Rashi. Taisis, however, says that he says the opposite. He says that this is less than a little bit of eating. He says rather anachila meruba is as if you eat a lot, that's as long as you're still thirsty from what you ate, because that could go even more than 72 minutes. But if you ate a little bit, that extends up to 72 minutes. So the question of 72 minutes is the lower share or the higher share is a machlokes between Rashi and Taisis. But either way, that the two different opinions of Rish Lakish were depending if one eats a lot or a little, and that would define how long is the digestive period that a person can still make birch samazin if he forgot the bench. Then the Gemara continues quoting from the Mishnah. It says, "Bolem yayin," if wine came at the end of the meal. So that Rashi says that the Gemara now will not explain it over here, because the Gemara already explained it in the beginning of the parak, that according to Beis Shammai, Birch Samazin does not require a cup of wine, and that's why you can make the bracha even before. And Beis Hillel holds it does need a cup of wine, and therefore you can't make the bracha on this wine that came after the meal before benching. Rather, you have to wait till after Birch Samazin so that you could use it as a kosher bracha. But now the Gemara is going on the Bechulu, etc., which is the next quote from the Mishnah, which was regarding making a bracha after someone's bracha. That we said that after Yisrael makes a bracha, even if you didn't hear, even only just the last word, you can answer amen. Versus by a kuti, you can't say unless you heard the whole bracha, because you don't know, maybe he made the bracha towards his gods on Har Gerizim. So now the Gemara comments on this. Lememer di Yisrael afagav lo yishama kula bracha ayna. So that's to say, obviously, that regarding when a Jew makes a bracha, even if you didn't hear the whole bracha, you could answer amen. But then the Gemara asks, v'chil yishama heichen nafik. But if you didn't hear the whole bracha, how are you going to fulfill your obligation for the mitzvah? And that is, the Gemara thinks now that we're talking about someone that's sitting around the table that wants to hear to be yoytz the bracha that the person's making. How does he fulfill it? He just hears the last word of bitvari or hagofen. Samrachia barav bishalay ochlamon. Here we're talking about someone that didn't eat with the person that's making the bracha. The Mishnah is talking about when you didn't eat with them, and it's just that you want to answer amen, as the Gemara is going to discuss right now the greatness of answering amen, how great it is just to, so to speak, be mekayim and, so to speak, fulfill, then say that what the person's making the bracha, I agree to that. Amalei Rav Lachia Berei. Rav said to Chia, his son, Bri, my son, Chatoif Ubarach, I want you to grab and make a bracha. That is when they're, so to speak, giving the option who should make the kais, use the kaisal bracha. I want you to say that you should give it to me and that you want to make the bracha on the kaisal bracha. And you should have that schus. So to Rav Huna said to his son, Rabba, Chatoif Ubarach, I want you to grab and make the bracha because it's a chashivus to be the one that's the mevarach. So the Gemara asks, "Lememr the mevarach adif mimanda on the amen." Is that what you're trying to say, that the mevarach, the one who makes the bracha, is greater than the ones who are answering amen because they wanted their sons to have the schus to be the mevarach versus everyone else is answering amen? But Hatanya, we learn the brayse. Rabbi Yosi says, "God la'ina amen yosim mevarach." That one who answers amen is even greater than the one that makes the bracha. And the Gemara proves it. Amalei Rabbi Nahiroi says, "Hashemayim kenu." I swear by the heaven that that's the case. Teda, I'll prove it to you. Shari Gulrarian Yurdun Mizgaran Muhammad, that because you have the privates, the low officers, that they go out and they engage in the war, they start the war. The Gibayim Yurdun Manaskan, the champions, they come after everyone else, the generals, and they come ahead and they, so to speak, conquer the war and they finish up the whole war. So we see that the Gemara, the end, is the greater, as Chazal say in other places, are called Hoylich Achar Achisim Achar Gemara, after the end. So l'chayr amin is better because it, so to speak, seals the deal. So how can you say, why did they tell their sons that they should be the mevarach? It's better not to be. Because then you can answer amin on the bracha that the person is making. So the Gemara says tanoi, it's a machloikis tanoim, and those who told their sons to be the mevarach were going like the following tana. The tana has a learned in the braisa. Echad ha-mevarach, ve'echad ha-oina amin b'mashma. That whether it's someone that is the mevarach, or whether someone that's answering amin, they were both implied in the pasuk, and that is, there's a pasuk that says in Nehemiah, "Kumu baruchu es Hashem lekechem," get up and bless Hashem your God. And then it says, "Vivaruchu shem kvedecha," and they will bless your honorable name, which is a reference to answering amen in the Beis Hamikdash. And that is in the Masechtas Tainis, they explain that "Kumu baruchu," get up and bless, that's a reference to the beginning of the bracha. That's the actual bracha. "Vivaruchu shem kvedecha," and they will bless your honorable name. That's in place of Amin, because in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't answer Amin, they answered Baruch Shem Kavod Machusah Leilam Vad, and therefore when it says that they will bless Shem Kavod Dacha, that's a reference to Baruch Shem Kavod Machusah, and therefore the Pasuk is saying both regarding the one that makes the Bracha, and the Pasuk is also referring to the one that answers Amin, which is Baruch Shem Kavod Machusah Leilam Vad. However, Eli Shem Emarin LeMevarech Yosim in Oina Amin. So although the Pasuk is referencing to both the Mevarech and the Amin, but they're quicker to talk about and to give reward to the one that makes the bracha than for the one that answers amen. And that is, the reward goes first, and that's why it says first in the pasuk, "Kumu baruch es Hashem," at first references the one that makes the bracha, because that's greater than the one that answers amen. And that's, as we mentioned, is the machlokes tanoim, which one's better, is the mevarach better, the one that makes the bracha, or the one that answers amen. So now the Gemara asks, regarding this that we said about answering amen on the Yisrael's bracha versus a kuti, you have to hear everything, the Gemara discusses someone else regarding if you're allowed to answer the amen on his bracha. Are you allowed to answer amen on the bracha of a child? And that is when they're learning the brachas from their Rebbe. And the Rebbe is going, Baruch atah Hashem, and they're repeating and they're learning the brachas. Are you allowed to answer amen on that bracha? So Amalei, Achar HaKoyl Ayin and Amen, Chutz Mitznoike Shal B'Shalim. It says you're allowed to answer, and you should answer amen after everyone's bracha, besides from children. And the reason is, Hoyl V'Ulu Hislam Edasu, and since it's being used just to learn, that is, they're not being mechaven, their intent is not to bless Hashem, rather just to learn the actual words, so therefore there's nothing to answer amen on, and that's why by children you don't answer amen. However, that's only if they're not using it to absolve themselves from their own obligations of what they're coming to eat, or if it's a reference to maftir, when they would make the brachas on the haftarah. But if it's during the brachas that they say in the Haftarah, which is by the Navi that comes after the Aliyas on Shabbos on, by the Torah, then one answers Amen afterwards. Or as other Rishonim say, it's like if they're being yotze the chiyuv of chinuch, that they're saying the brachas of Shahakal or Mezainis or whatever it is, that they're intending to, so to speak, praise Hashem. It's not being used just to learn. Then one does answer Amen even on the brachas of children and not just on adults. So now the Gemara concludes this parak with halacha related to Birchas HaMazon, which was the discussion of this parak. Turn up button. Shemen ma'akev es ha-bracha divir Reb Zilloy. Reb Zilloy says that the oil that they used to bring at the end of the meal, that they would anoint their hands after the meal, after the Mayim Achrayim, to take off the odors from the food that they ate, that holds back the bracha that it's forbidden to make the zimun until it comes. And similarly, regarding the brachas that one makes on things that come during the meal or regarding dessert, it would make a difference if it's still considered the meal. If they didn't bring that oil yet, it's that the meal is continued to go on, and therefore the brachas will be like the same as it's during the meal. Reb Zivoya Aimer Eina Ma'akev. He says that the oil does not hold back, and therefore the meal could have been considered that it's concluded already, and you could do your zimun already. Reb Acha Aimer Shemen Toiv Ma'akev. He says that only good oil holds back. And that is, if it's oil that has fragrant spices in it, that type of oil, if you're accustomed to that, that holds back the bracha, and therefore you can't do Birchas HaMazon until you have that good oil. Reb Zuhumayi Aimer, Kishem Shemezuim Pasul Avayda, Kach Yudayim Mezuhamayis Pasulis Lebracha. He says, just like an offensive odor is something that's invalidating regarding the Avayda in the Beis HaMikdash, so too if you have hands that have an offensive odor, it's Pasul for bracha, and you can't bench until you get rid of that odor. So the Gemara says that Amr of Nachma Yitzchak, Ano loy ziloy v'loy zivoy v'loy zahamoy yodan. I don't know all these with Zayin, ziloy, zivoy, zahamoy, reference to all these Amiram, reference to all these Tanoim that said, what is the halach about what holds back the Birchas HaMazon? I don't know them. Elamas nididan, only I know Zabrais. The Amr of Yehuda Merav, the Yehuda Merav says, and some say, b'mas nididan, that we learned the Brais. It says in the Pasuk in Vayikra, that you should make yourselves holy, and then you will be holy, because I am Hashem, your God. So the Braisa splits up the words into different chiyuvim. That you should make yourselves holy, that's a reference to the chiyuv, to wash the waters before the meal. And then you'll be holy, that's a reference to the waters after the meal. That's known as mayim achrayim. Ki kadosh, because of holiness, that's a reference to the shemen or the shemen toiv, the good oil that holds back the meal, that you can't do it until you do the good oil, if you're accustomed to that. Ani Hashem Lekechem, I am Hashem your God, zu bracha, that's a reference to the actual bracha of Birchas HaMazon, and therefore we see that he says, I know from a braisa that the shemen toiv is ma'akid, that it holds back a person from making the bracha of the Birchas HaZimun and the Birchas HaMazon. Har nolach el dvarim. This is the end of the 8th parak of Masechtas Brachas, which discussed primarily the halachas of Suda, of the meal, and also the brachas of Havdalah, and its order regarding of how the order is on the brachas of Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos.